Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Listen up, law entrepreneurs. Don't forget to join us for our new Law Entrepreneur Book Club. That's right, we started a book club starting this January, and our first book is Tribe of Mentors. So go pick up Tribe of Mentors, Short Life Advice from the Best in the World, written by the well-known author Tim Ferriss. You can get the book wherever books are sold digitally or in a brick and mortar location. Yeah, get the book, read it, and then on the 1st of February, to be exact, we will do a stand-up book review on Facebook. So join us on Facebook. You can wander over to our Facebook page. Just search for Law Entrepreneur or be a part of our Facebook group. And within the group listings, look for Law Entrepreneur and join the group. That way you'll get notified when we do the Facebook Live event. All right. So we'll see you on the 1st of February with the book review for Tribe of Mentors. Welcome to episode 94 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm your host, as usual, Neil Tyra. Today, I have a phenomenal guest. Oh, my God. Samantha Kelly, otherwise known as the Tweeting Goddess. Listen, you're going to want to pay attention to this episode because her story is remarkable, how she came to be where she is. She's from Ireland, so she's got this lovely accent, which is all the more reason to listen to the show. And we touch on, we go into more than touch, we go into great depth about how to use Twitter as a platform in the legal community. And I think I'm really actually pretty certain that Twitter has to be one of the most underused social media platforms by attorneys. Most attorneys, when you talk to them about Twitter, say, oh, I don't, it's a silly thing. You know, what, tweeting about what I had for breakfast? So that's the general response that you get. But as you're going to hear from Samantha, it can be way more than that. And she's built an entire empire on the basis of Twitter. And you'll hear how it's just really an organic process. Just the idea of being yourself on a social media platform. What a revelation. So I am thrilled about this episode. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did doing the interview. And so without any further delay, here is the Tweeting Goddess, Samantha Kelly. Samantha Kelly, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. Samantha, tell our audience, well, first off, Samantha comes to us all the way from Ireland, so you are our second overseas guest. So having said that, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Well, thank you. Yes, I'm Irish, and I started a business a few years ago with no experience and hadn't a clue about, I barely had a Facebook page. And I just started using social media to market my business because as a small business owner, I didn't have a marketing budget. And also when I started my business, I was very wise. I started with no money at right. all. So I was like, oh gosh, what am I doing? But it was kind of a turning point for me. My dad had just passed away and he was a real entrepreneur. He was a painter and decorator, but he really you know, he was always working really hard. And we were born in this really bad area in flats. And then we ended up in a cottage in the countryside just through his hard work. So I could see the benefits of working hard and what they could do for you to improve your life. So I suppose he would have been a big inspiration for me. But so when he passed away, and also my marriage had broken up and I was hitting 40 as well. So I was kind of going, oh, what have I done with my life kind of thing. So when I got this business idea, which was a gift box for girls when they came to the awkward milestone of their first period, which is a big taboo.
Wow.
I know, I decided.
Wow, that is a very niche market.
Very.
And really a brave thing to do.
Well, it was, and I am, as you can see, I'm not very shy. So I said, you know what, I'll do this because no one else is going to do it. So I decided I'd start this business with no money. And I decided because Dad had passed away, I was in that kind of frame of mind where you kind of think, you know what, you only live once, you know, go for it, you know. So I decided to go for it. Now, what happened was because I had no marketing budget, I had to find a way of getting this product out there. And I also went on a show called Dragon's Den, which is like Shark Tank, you pitch to investors and stuff. So before I did that, though, I had to build up, you know, the website and all that kind of stuff. So my sister did websites. So I just reeled in favors, surrounded myself with people who I knew could advise me that were nice people and happy to help. And I just started it off and I started doing my own PR. So I started emailing radio shows and stuff like that. And because it was such a taboo topic, I was able to get the airtime and stuff. So what I did was I realized in the evenings when the kids were in bed, I was a bit lonely. And I realized that I wasn't the only person starting a business, sitting at her kitchen table, building her empire online. And I knew that I wasn't the only one out there coming up against these challenges, like being able to get money to start up and being able to get, you know, everything basic from a business card to
the whole business of running a business.
Yeah, the whole thing. And then I didn't know anything about running a business. So I found places online where I could learn, do webinars, and I learned as much as I could. But I found when I was on Twitter in the evenings that a lot of other small business owners were actually online at that time as well. So I wasn't the only one when the kids went to bed going online, you know. So right. I just was lucky and I didn't realize I had this knack for marketing, but I also had a great knack for treating people, making them feel good. So I realized that if anyone followed me, I thanked them, you know, and they were like, oh, she thanked me, you know. And right. It was like just common things that you would do in real life I was doing on Twitter. So if I saw someone was looking for a little dig out and they were like, oh, I have this, please spread the word, I would spread the word, you know, and just things like that. And I realized that this was something I was getting good at, was connecting the dots, because I also saw that there was someone, like, let's say a doctor in the US was talking about the facts of life or whatever. I connected them with someone who I knew was doing a similar blog post or article. And I started connecting the dots and I realized I was really good at doing that. And I was amazed to see that people don't actually do that, like introduce people that they think would be mutually beneficial to each other.
I was just going to say, so you were acting human on a social media platform.
Exactly. That's all I was doing, to be honest. And
what a unique marketing secret that must have been.
I know, and it's such a simple thing, you know, just acknowledging people, not ignoring them, giving people a chance, not judging them straight away, you know, just simple life skills. That's really what happened, and that's how I just started building a big following. People started following me because they liked what I was putting out. And then I also started putting out good content and helpful stuff. So let's say I found a really useful business tip. I would share that tip and say, oh, this is actually really good, this article, look at it, da, 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 da. And then people would go, that actually is a really good article, thanks for sharing. And then the person that wrote the article was really happy because I was tagging them and I was sharing it. But also, the people, my followers, I was growing my own army of marketeers because I was being so helpful to others. They started helping me and saying, actually, Tweeting Goddess is really good on Twitter. Maybe you should ask her, you know, and they started doing my marketing for me. So That's how it all started.
So you became really a much followed influencer on the Twitter platform, but that's not necessarily what you set out to become.
Not at all. Not at all. No, it was initially to market my business. And I suppose I became a little bit addicted to it as well, right?
So yeah, sure.
I did. I did really start to enjoy Twitter. And then, you know, I started building communities because I got frustrated with the red tape that would come along. You know, if you wanted a grant from one of these government agencies, you had to have the money first. Then they gave you the money. And it was like, oh, for God's sake, you know, we need the money now. Like, not, you know, I can't get the money. That's why I'm applying for the grant. So, you know, things like that. And I just got frustrated. And I said, you know what? I sat down one day and I said, everybody, if you're in small business, tell me what you do and I will retweet. I think I had 5,000 followers at this stage. I said, let's have an Irish biz party. And I used the hashtag Irish biz party. So all of a sudden, these other small businesses were joining in. We started joking. But then another girl said, oh, actually, you know, someone put up a tweet and used the hashtag. And they said, oh, I live down the road from you. I didn't know you did that. I must drop in and have a coffee. And then people started engaging with each other and arranging to meet. And then next thing they were saying, oh, my mother would love one of those. Where can I buy one? And so sales were happening during this conversation. And then we trended number one in Ireland. So many people joined in and saw the magic that was happening. And that's really how the community building started. So
it's a fascinating story. Now, I thought Twitter was just, and social media in general, was just for out shouting your opponents and just trying to make yourself heard above the noise. So apparently I'm wrong.
You are, just because a certain man in charge of a certain country does that.
Right.
It doesn't mean that, and I hate when people say like, oh yeah, you know, sure, he's after changing Twitter. I'm like, no, he didn't. You know, just because you hear, because people hear the bad stories, okay? They don't hear the lovely, positive, warm stories that I see every day on Twitter. I see campaigns succeeding, like for operations for children, for people to, you know, raise funds for charities. I see all these wonderful things happening from through Twitter. I see people, you know, helping others and doing really nice things. It could be one useful introduction. And the lovely thing about Twitter is you don't have to do that big, long introduction email. You can just say, hi, John, you should connect with Mary because she's actually in your area and I know that she loves blah, blah, blah. You know, so you're actually introducing people by just tagging them. You don't have to do a big introduction.
It's interesting. You had a lot of, or a variety of platforms from which to choose. Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter and, you know, others at the time that some have come and gone. What made you gravitate towards Twitter as a platform to do all of this social interaction?
Well, I found that it was the demographic that I needed to reach as well. So I noticed that it was people aged 35 to 55. And then I found out that the highest growing demographic were the over 55s. And because this gift box I was marketing was targeted towards the mums and then the fathers, lone fathers, I started actually talking to a community of lone fathers who actually would have loved this gift box for their daughters. Fantastic for them. And then I noticed the grandmothers were buying them, you know, and then I noticed, you know, there was all this whole market I didn't even think of.
But wait a second, you found folks on Twitter in an older demographic? I thought Twitter was just, you know, for children, for kids, for the millennials.
No, they're Instagram and Snapchat. So age 35, 16 to 35 year olds are on Instagram and Snapchat. Women mostly are on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram. Twitter is more for, you get a lot of journalists and CEOs, a lot of B2B, like you get a lot of people who want to share their knowledge or want to become the expert in a certain topic. You know, for example, with lawyers, I mean, there are a good few influential lawyers on Twitter. I can tell you who they are if you want, but I mean, you know, it's really easy to find these people once you just put into the search. There's a search on Twitter and just put in lawyer, the word lawyer, or put in like visa lawyer. There's a lawyer on Twitter, the visa lawyer, I think he's actually called. But, you know, these are people that actually are using Twitter properly, because Twitter is a great way to show that you're the expert in your space. So if you want people to remember you as being the best at what you do, you start writing stuff and start putting it out on Twitter. Use images, use video. I mean, that's all I started doing. I started sharing what I was learning as I went along. And when I started sharing that, I was helping others, but also I was helping the people who wrote the articles by spreading the word.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Well, the comment that I get most often from attorneys, and frankly, here in the U.S., it's my opinion that, although it might be changing, that the legal community is slow to pick up on social media as a platform or as a tool, in large part because we were prevented from advertising at all for so very long. And so the whole concept of self-promotion or using tools to create that kind of community that would allow for promotion of your business is kind of antithetical to what, you know, attorneys think of themselves. And particularly when you say, when you ask them, well, do you have a website? Well, yes, now I begrudgingly have a website. Well, do you participate in social media platforms like Facebook? Well, I have a professional page. I don't do a whole lot on it. How about Twitter? And the answer you get is, I have no idea how to use Twitter. I don't even know what it's for. And you get a derisive comment like, what, people tweeting about what they had for breakfast this morning? So that's kind of the mentality, I think, that's in the legal community. I think I know where that is misplaced viewpoint. Yeah. But share with me a little bit what you've seen in terms of professional services using Twitter as a platform for engagement.
Okay, well, I find that the best way is, think about this. Twitter is not about broadcasting. It's not about putting out ads, and it's not about advertising yourself, but it is about knowledge sharing, showing you're the expert in what you do, putting out the latest news or the latest updates on certain things in your industry, showing that you are the expert in this space and proving yourself to be the go-to person about this topic. It's also about helping others, and it's about inspiring others. So I remember I was doing a presentation to the health services, right? And there was a retired pediatrician in the audience, and he was like, I don't want to. He said the exact same thing. Oh, it's just for showing what you have for breakfast or whatever. And I said, okay, well, you're my challenge for today, I said to him. I said, I'm going to have you tweeting by the end of the day. And he went, no, you won't. No, you won't. And so I said, okay, so what about the people coming after you? Can you imagine the amount of knowledge and advice, like the amount of knowledge you could share and how you could inspire others learning and coming up along that would like to do what you've done? And then he went, and now he's tweeting. And he's tweeting about experiences, stories, tips on how to deal with certain situations. Like, he's really tweeting away there now, good-o. And I'm just so happy because that's what got him. That's what, when it clicked with him, how he could use it for good in his retirement.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. Do you want to help more clients but don't have the resources? Do you feel overwhelmed by the amount of work to do that you can't even think about getting new clients? If this is you, I urge you to try out Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM that streamlines your practice and can save you hours of work each week. Daylight has helped thousands of small businesses, including my own, to manage more clients and cases without adding stress nor chaos. With Daylight, you don't need to fumble through files or notes to know where you are in a case. There's no more CCing your assistant on emails or passing around spreadsheets. Because Daylight now has a new team view that helps you see what everyone in your firm is working on. You can see everyone's appointments and tasks and easily schedule meetings for the entire team or a portion thereof. To learn how Daylight can help your firm, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. Be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. That's Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. This episode is also brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. Visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in the law entrepreneur. Spotlightbranding.com/TLE, brought to you by our friends at Spotlight Branding. I recall when all of this was kind of blossoming that people frequently refer to Twitter as a mini blog platform. And I think we got away from that. As Twitter exploded, I think people kind of lost sight of the fact that it is an opportunity for you to, in bite-sized chunks, convey information.
Yeah, yeah.
And I suppose doubling the character limit to 280 as opposed to 140 makes that even more tenable a proposition.
Well, yes. And you see, the thing is, I wasn't too sure about the 280 character, because like the trick and the skill for me and what showed my skills most was the fact I was able to condense my message into 140 characters by being clever and using images and tagging people in the image. But you see, I had to build trust first. So the first thing I would advise people if they're thinking of going on Twitter is start finding other people just like you. Find people who you admire. Find people who you think are putting out good content and start listening to what they're saying. Start just lurking. You don't have to tweet. Like, you can even just watch what's going on. Social listening, it's called. You will find stuff that resonates with you. You'll find people. Find your tribe. And if you're into hill walking or if you're into fishing, find those guys too, because, or those ladies as well that are into the same stuff you are, because if you don't want to get bored either. You want to find it interesting for yourself as a human. Like, every Twitter avatar has a human behind it, believe it or not. It's like, you know, I found that when I started finding people that I actually genuinely was being inspired by and I found interesting, that made it much more interesting for me. And I was able to engage with those people and reply to their tweets and add my little opinion and, you know, maybe, and even just say, well done, congratulations on your award. Like, don't forget, when you do a tweet like that to someone, even celebrities are human and they love when you say, well done, or good for you, or keep going, and, you know, encouraging them to keep doing what they're doing. I mean, it really helps them too, you know. And I even, you know, if someone says, well done, keep doing what you're doing, that makes me feel good. So when I feel good, I retweet it to 42,000 people. So, you know,
what I hear you keep saying is just so enlightening, in the sense that you're really just saying, be human.
Yeah.
Have a human conversation. Engage in a human way, and you'd be surprised what this platform can offer.
It has changed my whole life. I have spoken at events all over the world because of Twitter, because people saw what I was doing on Twitter. They wanted to hear my message.
Right? You're different than anybody else.
Well, you see, I'm actually just normal, right? Yeah. But what happened was,
I was trying to be ironic there. I hope that came through.
I was trying to be just myself, you know, and I didn't have much confidence when I started out, and I wanted to learn, and I knew by me learning and sharing what I was learning, I knew there was someone else out there like me that needed to learn this stuff, you know. There are loads of people that started businesses during the recession out of necessity, because their partners were maybe builders or carpenters, and they lost a lot of work because of the recession. So they ended up having to go and do what their passion was. And so they ended up being the money earner. So there's a lot of women out there in particular that I found were in the same situation, that just became an entrepreneur by chance, you know. As regards attorneys and lawyers, I was approached what happened was, with the gift box, I went on the Dragon's Den TV show, and when I was going up to pitch to these investors, like, I had €5 in my pocket going to that, going to the filming. I had €5 in my pocket, and I really needed this investment, you know, to make the gift box profitable. because it wasn't making me money. I was working away, I was getting loads of sales, but I wasn't making money because I needed to buy it in bulk, you know? And so I went, when I was getting my makeup done, it was in January, it was filmed, and a butterfly landed on the makeup girl's light. And she said, "Why is there a butterfly here in January?" And I was like, "Oh, well, that's my dad, you know, because me and my dad used to watch it all the time." And so when I was going up the steps and I went in front of the dragons, they're called, you know, the investors, one of them said, "You've had a tough year, haven't you?" And I just burst into tears.
Oh,
and
dear.
I was like, "No." I was like, "Oh my God, this is so not right to do this right now." And I just got
that
so
upset.
That was
not your plan, was it?
It was not my plan, but you know what? It did me no harm at all because Twitter went crazy. People were watching the show. It showed that I was a human. It showed the struggle. It showed the story, you know, and it was a nice story, you know, and because I said, "Oh, me, my dad used to watch this all the time." So it was just the ironic that I was standing on the stage and my dad couldn't see it. And, you know, it was just it's just the whole emotion of it. And people love stories and they love when emotion, everybody can identify with someone that's lost someone special and everybody has had pain. So they could, they got me and they understood why I couldn't compose myself, you know. So I did manage to compose myself enough. They didn't show the whole lot, you know, the way they cut it down and edit it. But anyway, it's on YouTube if anyone wants to watch it. But after that show, I didn't, my popularity rose, but I didn't get the money after the show. So I got the investment on the TV show, but I didn't get it afterwards, which sometimes happens with due diligence. And so everyone thought I was really rich and I wasn't. I was still in the same situation as I was before.
Not much different from when you went on the show.
Exactly. But the nice thing that happened was companies started approaching me and asked me, could I help them with their Twitter? And they said, "Look, you're really good on this. Can you show us how you do it?" And so I went, you know what? There could be a business here.
And isn't that remarkable?
Yeah. So out of that, I actually ended up selling Funky Goddess, which was the gift box. And I changed my Twitter handle from Funky Goddess to Tweeting Goddess, which is where I am now, Tweeting Goddess. And because of all this, the followers and because of my story, I started to get speaking moments. I started to get results from my clients. And now I manage Twitter accounts for clients. I have a team of eight. I've written a book, Tweet Your Way to Success. And now I'm one of the top influencers, probably, well, in Ireland anyway. I have 42,000 followers, engaged followers, which is not, you know, like some people have loads of followers, but there's nothing happening at all.
Sure.
You know?
Well, let's talk a little bit then about the mechanics of this. I mean, I get a sense from what you're saying that this kind of personal engagement allows you to connect with like-minded people who are looking for doing what you're doing. So that's more of, if I put this in the legal context, that would be, well, I might be engaging with other attorneys, but is it possible to use the platform as a lead generation tool? Can I
yes.
do the same thing and to reach out to people who might, as clients, potential clients, need my services?
100%.
And is that fundamentally different?
No, you can totally do that. You can build your reputation and your show you are the expert in this space. When you show you're the expert in this in your area, people will automatically go to you the minute there's something comes up. You know, you can do, like if you're doing 10 tweets a day, let's say, if you do 3 out of 10 promotional, like 3 could be either sending traffic to an article that you've just written or download a report that you've come up with. And then the other 2 tweets could be, you know, did you know that most people don't even think about a will, but it's so important, blah, blah, blah. Did you know you can have a chat with me if you want some help with that or whatever. You know, you can do simple little things like that, but not all promotional, like 3 out of 10 rule okay. would be, yeah, what I do. And also just to let you know, I have I did have a client who came to me. They were solicitors in Belfast. And they said, look, we want to be the top solicitors, lawyers firm in Belfast. And I said, right, okay. Well, why don't you create a community with all of your potential clients in one place every week on Twitter? So we created Belfast Hour. Belfast is the name of the city, and that's where they're based. And they created this Twitter chat called Belfast Hour, which is on every Thursday night, 9 to 10 p.m. And it's still thriving to this day. It's one of the most popular Twitter chats. All small business owners take part. And that was their main target market at the time. And people, even the tourist boards take part. Everybody, because it's so popular, anyone in Belfast takes part in it. And even people in the surrounding areas in Northern Ireland take part in it. And who doesn't take part? Other solicitors, because it's not their Twitter chat. So it would look really bad if other solicitors jumped in. So these guys have the whole, it's hosted by this particular solicitor's practice.
Okay, I don't understand what a Twitter chat is.
Okay, Twitter chat is, we can create a hashtag. So you can create and tell people, join us, use the hashtag Belfast Hour, join us and tell us what you do. So you, all you do is you do your tweet and use the hashtag Belfast Hour between 9 and 10 p.m. And if you click on Belfast Hour, you will see all the other people's tweets as well. And you can join in the conversation.
Okay, so it's a way of filtering out all the other traffic so that you're just listening to or reading tweets that include that hashtag.
Yeah, that are relevant to Belfast. So you could also, if you put the hashtag women in business. If you put hashtag business into the search box on Twitter and click on all tweets or the latest tweets, you will get every single person in the world who has mentioned hashtag business.
Sure. Okay. Now, that brings me to another quick question. A couple come to mind. Do you recommend having multiple Twitter accounts, a personal account, a business account, or do you recommend that you kind of present a unified view to the world?
Yes, I would recommend just one. So for the likes of yourself even, I would recommend just one, because people buy from people. No matter what you say, doesn't matter what business you're in, people buy from people. It's your face. It's you're the person that they're going to. If there's two hardware stores in my village and one girl is always putting out positive stuff and she's always, kind and helping others and putting out really good stuff to show that she knows what she's talking about. And then the other girl's always bitching about others and giving out and, all like, which one are you going to do business with? You're going to do business with Mary, who's always been nice, aren't you?
Pretty self-evident. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you use the platform as a tool for branding your business? I mean, I see that you can use it for educating and attracting folks, but can you actually create that brand awareness such that when people are thinking about a business, that brand pops into their brain?
100%. Yeah, sure. Look, my Twitter handle is Tweeting Goddess. It's not very serious, a Twitter handle, but it's a brand now. It's actually a brand. Like, people, the Tweeting Goddess, people don't even call me Samantha when I meet them. It's like, oh, it's the Tweeting Goddess. You know what I mean? You can and on Twitter, you can be more playful than LinkedIn. Like if you were an expert in health and safety, you could call yourself, like I know one guy, he's called Tom the Safety Man. You can be a bit more playful with your Twitter handle. And that goes for solicitors, lawyers. You can be more, you could say the legal experts, the visa experts, what it is you're the expert or what niche you're concentrating on. Find a niche is another one. Find a niche, that you really are the top at. Because look, there were so many social media influencers, social media experts, but there was no one really concentrating on Twitter. And there's one or two like me, like there's Madeline Scholar, there's Jen Leonard there in the States. But I mean, there was no one really talking about Twitter only, and that's what I was doing.
Well, it's a fascinating discussion. I know that in part it also gave you the platform and the opportunity to create something else that I know is important to you. And that's the Women's Inspire Network. Take a couple of minutes and tell us what that's all about.
Well, I found that most of my followers, it's important to look after your audience, okay? And I noticed that most of my followers, if I had an event or a workshop, it was mostly women that bought the tickets. It was mostly women who that were coming up to me at the end of my talks and saying, oh, I so identified with what you said, and, you know, that kind of stuff. So I decided, you know, I need to nurture these people and look after them. So I decided to set up a Women's Inspire hashtag. So it's the Women's Inspire Network, WIN. See what I did there?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So Women's Inspire Network, I decided to build a website. But while I was doing that, I started the Twitter chat. So that's every Tuesday night from 10 to 11 p.m. And I actively encourage people to promote what they do and tell me about it. Because then I retweet it to 42,000 people. So more people are seeing them than they would ever have had see them before. And then we start to engage and build relationships. And then by the time we have an event, which I started doing 2 events a year, it's hugs, not handshakes, because we already know each other from chatting on this hashtag and on Twitter, you know. So I started building this community. I also made a Facebook page so that we could engage besides just a Tuesday night. There's 8,000 women there now. But then I wanted to convert them into, I mean, I was exhausted. I was looking after everybody, but not myself, which also happens, as I'm sure you can understand as well. Mm-hmm. And I realized I have to monetize this in some way, but add more value. So I started doing a subscription. So it's 20 a month or 150 for the year. And what they get is they get 30 minutes with one of my panel of mentors, which I have put together of people I know who are maybe good at Instagram, good at Facebook, good at email marketing, good at all different types of skills, time management, sales, whatever. Like, another thing they didn't know how to do was how to sell. And a lot of businesses, a lot of people start businesses and they actually don't know how to sell.
Oh, you know, and for sure. Yeah.
It's very common.
And that's really, really true for attorneys who are in like a trusted estate attorney. Well, you don't have necessarily an external event that causes the client to come seek your services. So you really have to involve a sales model to convince them that, you know, they should come to you. And attorneys for sure don't know how to sell.
And they need to stand out from the rest. Why should I go to one instead of another? Like, what makes you stand out? Is it your nice personality? Have you got a nice smile even? You know, your photograph, if you have a nicer smile, that can attract clients. Seriously. Sure. I mean, but if you're not like blessed in that area, it doesn't matter. You can stand out in a different way. You can stand out with your humor. You can stand out with, I know one guy, he does a lot of pictures and photographs of the weather and the surrounding area where he lives. So he actually takes pictures of the town. And that makes him stand out because everyone knows, oh, if you want to know anything about that area, this guy knows everything about that area. You know what I mean? Because it shows he's knowledgeable in the area. So even indirectly, he's getting the sales that way. But yes, the Women's Inspire Network, I just said, you know what? We need to learn all this stuff like I did from scratch.
Yeah.
And I'm going to teach them. I know exactly what people need and I'm going to do webinars. So we do webinars every week. We do online coffee as well. We're doing one tonight, which is, we do them now and then. It's just, we just meet up and one lady, she has her little boy in her lap, you know, because she works from home and we know his name and all, and we say hello to him. And, you know, it's like, it's just relaxed and casual. And how's your week going? Is there anything we can do to help you this week? And somebody might have, you know, an event coming up, or they might be saying, you know, I really had this idea. I don't know if it'll work. Can you give me some tips? And we just brainstorm. And it's really nice. It's really nice.
Well, it is a fascinating journey that you've been on, and you have so much information to share. I could spend all day here chatting with you. But tell our audience a little bit as we wrap up here, how can they go about connecting with you? I'm guessing on Twitter. But what else can they do to find out about Tweeting Goddess and Samantha Kelly, and maybe take advantage of some of that expertise that you have to offer?
Yeah, if you go to tweetinggoddess.com, I have lots of blog posts and tips on Twitter there. I also have a YouTube channel with videos on how to create a Twitter account, how to take part in a Twitter chat, the basics really, which is what people want to learn. I have an ebook as well. I have the Women's Inspire Network is really good because, you know, you can be a member then and you can get there's a private Facebook group as well, and you can engage there. And it's just really nice because there are a lot of people feel isolated working from home. So if anyone's feeling like that, and if you're a woman, you're very welcome to join. But definitely Tweeting Goddess on Twitter. And yeah, that's the best way to find me. I'm also on Instagram and LinkedIn and Snapchat. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll put all of that in our show notes. And I want to, again, thank you ever so much for taking the time to be with us today. As I said, to me, it's fascinating. The story is great. You're such an engaging personality. I can't wait to tap you on the shoulder again and ask for you to be on the show one more time a little later on, okay?
Oh, well, thank you very much. And I know lots of people that would love this opportunity as well. So if you're ever stuck, do get in touch. And I would love to go and speak in America. So if anyone wants to get me over, let me know.
All right. Well, we're going to help make that happen. So Samantha Kelly, thank you ever so much for being on The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you.
Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency, and therefore it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.